Hi, my name is Robin. I'm the host of QLV, Queer Lehigh Valley, and we're here to talk about all things queer in the Lehigh Valley. I'm so excited to have our guest today, Khalid. We're going to talk about all of the different awesome things that he does. So just to jump right in, I wanted to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Robin. My name is Khalid Taylor. I use he and they pronouns. I am originally from Brooklyn, New York, but I live in Bethlehem currently. And I am an old soul.
I love that. Yeah.
And I love art. I love singing, dancing, theater, storytelling. And I love holding spaces for people to express themselves through those different media.
Yeah, when I was introducing you, I was like, it's hard because I think of you as having like a billion branches of arts. One label doesn't feel like it fits because I feel like you weave lots of different art forms together in like whatever you do, whether it's visual or singing or anything else.
Thanks. Yeah, I feel like that's the neuro spicy.
Yeah, for sure. Dabbling a little in all the things.
Yeah, exactly. I got to get my fill in a lot of different cups. It feels fulfilling to have a lot of passion projects.
For sure. Yeah. I feel like it's pretty natural too because I've always appreciated how it makes things feel more interconnected. You had the idea during our Trans Day of Visibility to put people's handprints on a wall. Mm. And I think about that all the time about how I feel like a lot of your work has to do with like connecting our bodies to art. Mm. Can you talk a little bit about that? Does that like ring true to you?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Thank you for that question. I feel like, okay, I'll start spiritual. I think that in my body, there's a spirit that has lived many lifetimes. Mm-hmm. And so there's wisdom that I think I've accrued over lifetimes, but it's a blessing to be in this body in this lifetime. And I think that there are certain things that our spirit can learn because it's in a body. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's power and importance and necessity to like use our full body while we have it. And so like, for example, I love to sing, and I learned very early on from incredible teachers that the voice isn't just like the throat up. It's your full body is the instrument. And so I think that is something that I've applied to not just singing, but dancing, of course, and also other forms of artistic expression. I think that our full body knows many things that we may not consciously have access to in terms of awareness. And I think that it's a gift when we can like access that embodied knowledge. And I guess one other thing I'll say to that is that I struggled with chronic illness for a while. And so there were points where I couldn't use or I didn't have the same access to my body or ability to move it in the ways that I wanted. And so I think that that also inspired me and just pushed me once I had more kind of ease of mobility to use my full body and encourage others to do the same.
Yeah, that's also beautiful. Mm-hmm. I don't know what thread I want to pick up on first. I echo like I'm somebody who lives with a few different disabilities, and I feel like it can sometimes give you a really unique relationship to like when you're able to do things or what it means to take up that space. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah.
Another question that I was thinking about, I think that you recently told me that you are kind of wrapping up a master's program, correct?
I'm a half-time student, so I just finished up my first year.
But a bit more time. You're ending your first year as a master's student, which is really awesome. I know that you study, it's around, like, I think it's narrative medicine.
Yeah.
And it's really fascinating. And I guess I was curious how connecting that kind of wellness along with art and storytelling, how did that come to be something you're interested in, and what are some things that you're excited about applying to that you've learned in school to the other kinds of work that you do?
I realized that story has been an integral part of my life for so long. Mm-hmm. And so for context, narrative medicine is an interdisciplinary field and kind of a new field that's centered around medical humanities, but I think about it as the power of narrative and story to impact the healthcare system and public health in particular. I got into it because of my journey with Lyme disease mm-hmm. and with chronic wounds that wouldn't heal for a long time, but also because I engage in this method called documentary songwriting. Mm-hmm. So I help people transform their lived experiences into song using a very step-by-step narrative and collaborative-driven process. And I realized that there was an opportunity here to bring a method, documentary songwriting, in conversation with a field that's also new and kind of bring two worlds together that don't seem like they fit or have the same space. Like that seems like a story that I've held for a long time. So I studied neuroscience and classical voice in undergrad, and I've just always been interested in these ways that music and art impact the other intersections of our lived experience. Mm-hmm. But my dad, from very little, would have conversations with me about the universe. And so a 4-hour conversation was like a snack for this mm-hmm. man. And so I think that I grew up on story mm-hmm. as a lesson, as inspiration, as education, as encouragement, and as reflection and reminders of who I am and what I'm here to do and why I'm here and my purpose. So I think that the story piece has always been there. I've always been fascinated with other people's stories as mm-hmm. well. All of the like roles that I've done in my life in terms of jobs or career my favorite part has always been the space holding and the relational building that's possible when you hold space for someone's story and experience.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Every time you say something, I'm like, I have a million things to reflect on because it's so interesting. I really appreciate the like collaborative way in which you approach creativity, because I do think sometimes our world like encourages people to be very individualistic with whatever kind of pursuits you have. But I appreciate the way that you create art always feels like it is like the work of a weaver bringing together lots of different tethers and stuff like that. So it's really cool. And I'm really excited to see like more humanities getting into the medical field. I mean, we know that like queer folks, people of color, disabled people all have like really rough experiences with our medical systems mm-hmm. because of the frankly not great roots of a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And I think that weaving those humanities into those spaces, at least from my perspective, seems like it could be a really great way of getting people to engage more in empathy and different ways of knowing about our bodies and health and well-being and all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
absolutely. I just saw a play yesterday about someone who had an experience with testicular cancer and had this journey of trying to conceive a child with his partner while his father was also diagnosed with ALS. So this journey of like trying to understand like fatherhood, but mm-hmm. also like navigating the healthcare system was really intense. But he was a comedic storyteller. So he told this like heart-wrenching story through a comedic lens that made the medicine go down a bit easier. Yeah. And one of the things that he said was that a lot of people think that the healthcare system is broken, but he believed that it was working exactly as it was intended.
Yeah.
And so that kind of, you know, realization that systems that are built on oppression of people are in fact working the way that they were intended. And so like I think that part of my intention with inviting people back into their bodies is mm-hmm. also to encourage people to trust in the innate wisdom and knowledge that we have access to mm-hmm. through our bodies. It's an antenna, but it's also a garden of so much accrued experience that we physically have, but also pick up from the environment around us. And I think that systems of oppression keep us disconnected from each other and also ourselves. And so to come back into the body, I think, is a really important act of like self-liberation. And from that self-liberation, we can also help other people do the same. I mean, it's so important. And I think that narrative is one of the ways that we get like that vehicle back to self and back to empathy and humanity with others.
Yeah, definitely. It makes me think about how I think something that a lot of people experience, especially of any marginalized groups in the medical system, is like oftentimes feeling gaslit about like maybe you're presenting symptoms to a doctor. I just know that there was a period in my life where I had long COVID symptoms essentially, and I just kept going to like doctor after doctor, and they were kind of giving the impression like it's all in your head kind of vibes. And so I appreciate what you're saying in the sense of like valuing what people's experience with their bodies are. And like, you know, people have so many different experiences. I mean, there's all different reasons why someone might be experiencing something like pain, or all different kinds of symptoms. But at the same time, I think if the system were approaching us with more empathy, or the system kind of undid itself a little bit, because I totally agree with what you were saying in the quote that you were paraphrasing from that person too, because like, the roots don't go away just because they're not doing the exact thing that the system was founded on. Because a lot of it is true. I mean, whenever I teach about like mental health in the LGBTQ plus community too, I usually note that like, air quote, like homosexuality was in the DSM like really not long ago.
Right.
And those kinds of biases towards all different groups of people are still like, even if they're not on the page in the textbook, like sometimes they're beneath the words in the ways that we talk about people.
Ooh, that's a word. That is a word, friend.
A little bit earlier on, you were talking about your dad as a storyteller.
Yeah.
And it made me also curious about like different people who've inspired you as a creative person, who've helped like form your voice. I was wondering if you want to share some inspirations.
Oh my gosh, yeah. My immediate answer is that I feel like there are a bajillion people, and I feel like that weaving that you talked about earlier is something that I think comes from the fact that so many people have woven into me. But I would say that every single choral director and teacher that I've had has really inspired me. So like Mr. S, Ms. Demko, who I just saw yesterday. I was actually speaking at my middle school yesterday. I was on an alumni panel for LGBTQ plus week. And it's an all boys school. So that was, so the growth in that has been great. But so yeah, Mr. S, Ms. Demko, Ms. Harris, who's my high school choral director. She helped me get into Oberlin Conservatory for classical voice. And just like, I feel like the music teachers really held me and saw me and poured into me. And so grateful for them. Shout out to John Legend, because he was one of the first artists that I felt really deeply connected to. And I was a young baritone trying to find my voice. And I really appreciated his soul. And there's this one song that's, that he says where it don't have to change is the name of the song. And I was going through a lot with like my family at the time. And I was in the scholarship program that was like tearing me apart. But like, it was helping me get into private school. Yeah. And so there was just a lot where I was in this transition. I just remember like playing his album, the CD that I had, and just like crying and feeling and just, you know, being in that space. And so I learned even before that, I imagine that opportunity was one where I saw the power of art, that other people's like story through song could help me tap into my spirit and the medicine that was there for me. So my dad, he was a drummer and still is, just doesn't drum as much anymore, but he grew up with 9 siblings and a lot of them, a lot of them played instruments. And so they would pass, like once they learned an instrument, they would pass it to the sibling, and this kind of created like a band together. And so, yeah, just so many people, my mom as someone who inspires me as well. But yeah, I'm just grateful for like having people who are close to me, but also far, that
have
poured into the musician that I am and the artist and the carer that I am.
That's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. I also think it's always interesting, like those first songs where we like connect to, or they like speak to our experience. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a realization that like, one, that like art can do that and like speak to lots of people's different feelings. But yeah, that's really beautiful. I love that you have your own little tapestry of people who've brought you to where you are too.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, it was really great to hear a little bit about your creative background. We're going to take a quick break, and then after we'll talk about some of your current projects.
Sounds good.
So stay tuned.
For the past 3 decades, WDIY has sustained itself through direct contributions from listeners. Our model is simple. The people who listen to the service are the ones who support the service. As WDIY celebrates its landmark 30th anniversary, we invite you to join us as a WDIY member by making a membership gift today. This is something you could do right now to make a meaningful difference in your community. Call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or online at wdiy.org.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to QLV. I'm here with my guest, Khalid. I'm excited to talk a little bit about your current projects. Mm-hmm. You do all sorts of really awesome stuff. I think I actually heard about your work first through Queer Choir. And I would love to hear you talk to the audience a little bit about what Queer Choir is and how it got started.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Queer Choir is a one-day choir experience in the Lehigh Valley and slowly branching out to other spaces for LGBTQ plus folks and allies in the Valley. So essentially, we learn, rehearse, and perform a song all in the same day. And for some folks, that can be really anxiety-inducing, mm-hmm. and myself included, but also it's really activating in a fun way. I think it, you know, with busy adult lives, it can be challenging to continuously rehearse and find that time on a weekly or monthly basis. And so I think it cuts down on the obligation and ups the joy and fulfillment of coming together. And so it was founded last year. I created it because I moved here in 2019, and that was right around the time that I started to experience Lyme disease, and then that was right before the pandemic. And so it took me a long time to figure out how to build and find community. And so I have been a choir kid from little and wanted to use what I knew and what I loved to connect with other folks, because I imagine that there are other people who like to sing. And this is not the first choir that is LGBTQ-centered in the Valley by any means, but I think that the other choirs don't quite exist in the same ways as they used to, and also they require rehearsal time.
Yeah, for sure.
Just trying to find that kind of ephemeral, transient experience that could also feel really good. So we had our first performance at Lehigh Valley Pride in 2024, and we sang Breakaway by Kelly Clarkson, and it was a hit, success, everyone loved it. And so it was something that I wanted to continue, and so thankfully found a little bit of grant funding to bring it into 2025. And so the goal and the intention so far has been to have monthly experiences and to connect with different organizations and nonprofits in particular that do a lot of community-centered work. And so, yeah, we're performing songs that you can learn within like 90 minutes. And then sometimes we're just singing for each other and sometimes we are singing to audiences.
Yeah.
And one of my intentions with audiences is to also break down the wall between performer and audience. So usually I have some type of kind of invitation to sing with the choir for the audience. So we'll teach something really quickly through call and response, and then everyone's a part of the experience at some point. And I love that because I believe that there's a lot of energy and power in our voice. And so when we add multiple voices together on the same intention or on the same note, literally same frequency, there's a lot of magic. And again, the whole body piece that we talked about in the first half and the embodiment of it. So I try to pick songs that are somewhat well-known or easy and accessible to learn and that feel good to sing and that have a positive message.
Because that's
just like my vibe.
And so that makes sense.
You know, we performed with Lehigh Valley Pride. We've worked with the Lehigh University Art Gallery. We've worked with Nowhere Coffee, done some work with the PA Trans Equity Project. And yeah, we have some exciting performances coming up for Pride. So we'll be at the Allentown Art Museum for their Third Thursday event.
Oh, amazing.
And we're going to be singing Break My Soul from Beyonce's Renaissance
album. Amazing, that's great.
It's going to be lit. And we're also going to be performing with the Governor's Reception for Pride Affairs.
Oh, that's so great. That's big news. That's awesome.
We're going to Harrisburg. And so, so we're starting to branch out from Lehigh Valley, doing something in New Jersey in September. So it's just exciting to see things start to expand. And I guess one thing I wanted to name is that it's a one-day choir experience, so anyone in the community can participate. And if you like to sing and you want to have this experience, there's like very low commitment. Just like show up and it's kind of choose your adventure.
That's awesome. I had the pleasure of seeing Queer Choir at the Lehigh University Art Galleries and then also at the TransAid Visibility with Eastern PA Trans Equity. And they were both really magical experiences. The one with Eastern PA Trans Equity, there's just like a room full of people. And getting so many people singing, it really felt like transcendent in a way that like I hadn't experienced for a long time. I think we don't often have opportunities to connect with each other on that kind of a level. I think the only other things that I could think about that felt similar were like, and I'm not really a religious person anymore, but it's kind of like experiencing a like embracing church without any of the you know, complicated layers of church.
The dogma.
Without the dogma, just with people being together and singing in a way that, like, spiritually connects you in a really beautiful way. I think that that'll always be, like, something that stands out to me about that specific Transia visibility and really getting to connect with people. I'm curious what some reactions from people who've participated in queer choir are. Like, what are some experiences that people have shared with participating in that one-day choir experience?
Yeah. I just got a name that got goosebumps in hearing you talk about the notion that it felt similar to, like, church, you know, but without the church stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the music pieces, I think, are invitation back to spirit and back to knowing, or whatever you want to call it, back to community, unity through community. And so, yeah, I would say that it seems like a lot of folks have experienced that in the choir in some form or another. I'm always grateful for folks who are really hesitant or apprehensive about doing it because they've never really sung with other people.
Yeah.
And by the end, they're like, oh my gosh, this was so good and so fun, and it was easy. But also it was like, it challenged me to, like, learn in a new way, and I feel like I accomplished something. I think that feeling of accomplishment, but, like, collective accomplishment is, ooh, that's, like, that's a, like, I'm always shooting for that in facilitation. And so I think that piece, but also the togetherness. I think that something that's really beautiful about choir is that you don't have to have the most amazing voice there ever was in order to be a part of something that's a joyful noise. And so, yeah, I think that folks feel, like, both safe and also, like, encouraged to bring what they have.
Yeah.
And to know that that's enough. I think also, like, it's always funny to me when people are like, I'm so mad that you made me cry. And I'm, you know? And I'm like, well, you accessed that energy and emotion, and I just held the space for you to feel that. And also, it's a beautiful thing that you cried. You know, I think tears mean that you're flowing. So
yeah, for sure.
Let them flow.
It's really interesting that we live in a world where people often, that joking tone comes through a lot of, like, you made me access an emotion.
Right.
Which is generally a good thing.
Exactly. It's like, I'm happy for you that you felt that way.
I also think that it's such, I feel like it would be really healing for creative people, because I think a lot of times, just living in the world that we do, where you know, have to find a way to make a living, a lot of times creative people have to find ways to perfect your craft and stuff like that, to have a space where the intention is not perfection. It is, like, literally just to sing this.
Yep.
Though I'm sure for a lot of people, I mean, speaking from my own perspective, I'm sure it's, like, hard to reorient yourself, but those exercises in reorienting yourself, I'm sure, are really fruitful for people.
Ooh, yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah, totally. I feel like it's reorienting for the folks who are participating, and also for me as a facilitator, like, just to release that perfection piece. I'm glad you brought it up, because I really do try to, like, leave perfection at the door and invite perfection to not be present in the space, but also still strive for, like, quality and strive
for,
like, good. You know, I think you can substitute perfection for fulfillment and like, connection is what I prioritize. And so, yeah, I think that it's necessary to like, be human. And I think creative, like, capitalism has got us thinking that we have to produce the, like, best possible thing in order for us to receive it. And so, like you said, I think it's really beautiful and a blessing to, like, leave that and just, like, be in the music.
Yeah, for sure. So you do another kind of pop-up choir too, which is Joyful Voices with Basement Poetry. And I would love to hear a little bit about how that came into being too.
Yeah, so my good friend Chloe Cole Wilson is a powerhouse. And so when I was talking with her about queer choir, she was like, you know what's funny is that I have had this idea for a choir for so long. And so just like, okay, well, like, let's put our minds, hearts, bodies, and spirits together and figure out how we can have the best of both worlds. And so I think that something that I really appreciate about the lens of Joyful Voices is that the intention came out of the loneliness epidemic, and then kind of responding to that, where people, especially since the pandemic, but even prior to it, have been struggling with loneliness and feeling like, how do I connect with people? Like, is it safe to connect? And and what are the stakes of connection going well or not going well? Mm-hmm. And so I think that the goal of Joyful Voices is to promote intergenerational connection. So, you know, having space, holding space for children to elders and singing together and seeing what's possible. And also, I think it's a space that I'm using to play both in the singing sense, but also in the aspect of, like, how can we be activating, like, other dimensions of creative expression? So we've had kind of storytelling experiences. We've done some planting and gardening and sowing intentions you know, and then singing, like, Circle of Life together, mm-hmm. or circle singing, which is, like, a more improvised or devised form of musical kind of collective music making. And so I think that that's been really fruitful, and that weaving piece that you talked about before, I feel like it's a space where it feels fun to weave a lot of different ways of being creative together. And so, yeah, we're doing that on a monthly basis as well. Most of our rehearsals and sessions have been at the Boys and Girls Club in Bethlehem. Okay. But we have some performances coming up at Reggae Fest and a couple others that aren't fully, you know, baked yet. So I'll leave them off. But I'm excited to see how the choir can start to have a more public-facing event. Our first performance was actually at the Allentown Art Museum for MLK Day.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was really nice to have, like, the audience, again, be a part of the experience. They were the choir. And so I think the flexibility of these spaces makes it accessible, but also just able to be received from a lot of different spaces. Because sometimes I think that choir, while it's, like, a very collective thing, can sometimes be put in this space of, like, oh, we're singing classical music, so there's a certain audience that's going to receive that, and it's a certain caliber of people. And so I want to bring it, you know, and hold it with people, for people. Yeah. And so I think that's what Joyful Voices is.
Yeah, for sure. I really appreciate your music selection. Is always, I feel like there's songs that people have engaged with a little bit before, and I think that that provides people an opportunity to feel on another level, like you can kind of feel interconnected too.
Yeah.
And that's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. How can people support the work that you're doing, both through Joyful Voices and Queer Choir? It's such important community work, and it's been really beautiful to both get to see the performances and then also watch it continue to bloom. It's so great that there's those pretty much monthly spaces where people can engage in that.
Yeah, so I would say that you can follow Queer Choir on Instagram at LV Queer Choir. That's LVQUEERQUOIR. Because alliteration.
Yes.
And I would say that you can follow Basement Poetry on Instagram as well to learn more about Joyful Voices. If you are part of organizations that would be interested in bringing community together in a creative and musical way, please hit us up, and it would be a pleasure to figure out how we can come together and have collective music making amplify experiences. There's that piece. I didn't talk about this, but one of my other hats is I am a teaching artist that engages in this method called documentary songwriting. So I help people transform their lived experiences into song using a very step-by-step method. And I mentioned that earlier, documentary songwriting, but I facilitate that, and I also teach other people how to become facilitators as well.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, so the nonprofit Documentary Songwriters does a lot of great work too. We have teaching artists around the globe, and so I happen to be the one that lives in the Lehigh Valley, and I'm hoping to have more folks to collaborate with musically and to train, but also to, like, work with. And so I've started a couple songs with QT BIPOC folks in particular in the Lehigh Valley, but I'm wanting to do more. And so there's that piece where if you're interested in documentary songwriting, you can go to Instagram, and the handle's at DocSong, but also www.docsong.org has a lot of information about documentary songwriting. And so if folks are interested, you can learn more about it at the website or on Instagram. And I'll also be facilitating a master class on how to create meaningful melodies through Zoom. So you can find out more on my personal Instagram at Khalid Antonio. And or at docsong.org.
Sweet. That's really awesome. Lots of ways for people to get involved. And I love hearing you talk about documentary songwriting. It sounds like such a beautiful piece of like an archival thing, but then also something that people can continue to connect to for forever. So yeah, that's really beautiful. Thank you so much for spending some time with me today and for sharing your life and your work with listeners. This has been QLV. I'm Robin, your host. I'll see you again next time.
Peace.